middle age.
Middle age.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I hope you're feeling fine. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
Good morning, Johnny. Do you know what? There's a Swedish song. It goes, good morgon, fogla hongikla, good morgon.
That'll
good
be morgon, to you. Yeah, that's good morning, good morning. It's
da, yes, da, 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 it.
Yeah, because it's from Oklahoma.
Is it? Because the Swedes think they made it up.
They didn't make it up. That's no. Doris Day sings that, or someone in, I think it's Oklahoma, or what's that one about everyone dying in the end? Pacific.
Poseidon Adventure.
South Pacific.
Oh, I thought you meant the one where the ship goes down.
Now, that's a good film. My daughter watched that with me a few months ago, actually. There has to be a morning after.
That sounds like Prisoner.
Well, that's the song. That's the song they're singing when it tips and turns. Oh, and of course, you get really attached to Shelley Winters, don't you? Underwater swimming champion. Anyway, I won't spoil it for others. Watch the original. Don't watch the new version. I think there's a new version. Okay. Forget it.
God knows. Ask Al Teggett.
Al, where is Al?
Do you know what? He just got in touch.
Did he?
He did. And?
Well, he didn't get in touch with me.
Well, he doesn't like you.
Oh, Al.
Sorry, I just did the weird laugh.
Oh, is that the laugh you've been talking about?
I don't know. Al Teggett sent me
a
message.
Charming. I've only known him since I was about 16.
Well, good for you. Russia is one of 41 countries in this year's Eurovision.
Hey, thanks, Al.
Hey, he came through.
I knew he would.
I said, you've earned your keep. So there you go. That keep of zero.
Yes. He's still on a retainer. He will be paid when we hit the big time, which will be any day now.
Don't you talk to me about retainers. I've just been to the dentist.
Oh, what happened, Michelle? Have they punched them all out and started again?
No. Look, it could just be an age thing. Could be because I think I grind my teeth. But
I suspect we all do.
In the past year, I think the whole world's been grinding their teeth. But no, they're moving and I got worried. So I had an emergency appointment at the dentist.
Are they like shuffling from one end of your mouth to the other, like piano keys?
Oh my God, are you in my mouth? No, really, they're moving and I already have a little bit of a buck tooth, bucky beaver smile. It's getting worse and it's going to continue to get worse. Basically, they are going back to the teeth of my childhood.
Which would you prefer? For them to stick out like Freddie Mercury, like sticking right out, or in like a rat?
In like a rat.
No, I'd hate that. Yes. I'd rather have them stick out than in. Do you?
No, I love innie teeth. Yeah. No, I think that's much nicer. Do I want braces?
No, not at
really.
Your age, God.
How dare you? How dare you?
At her age?
But that could be the only solution. So,
what about just a nighttime retainer like you just said before?
Well, I'm going to have to get one of those, a new one of those.
So you already have one?
Yeah, but it's for grinding. It's for grinding.
Just before bed, you've got to give your fiancé a little peck on the cheek and you're whacking all the instruments into your face. One to hold your eyes up, one to hold your face on, one to hold your teeth in. And you're lucky you don't have a breathing apparatus. One of my friends, who shall remain nameless, has to put on some kind of oxygen mask of a night in case she dies. I don't know what it is. You put it on and it smokes and it goes. Apparently it's not very sexy.
I was going to say that is a real turn on.
All night long.
Yeah, but poor Andreas, you know, because like everybody knows, I'm a sucker for a beauty gadget. I've got the paper that you stick on your face.
Are they called frownies?
The frownies, yes, because I think I'm a wild sleeper and I think I'm frowning all night.
All the expressions that you avoid doing in the daytime for fear of getting any wrinkles all happen. They all come tumbling out at night. You're like this. Unfortunately, no one can see what I'm doing.
Well, yeah, the frownies, I'm not allowed to really wear them anymore because Andreas doesn't like it. Doesn't like it. And I see why. But honestly, have you seen those silicone patches?
Yeah.
Those big ones that like full facial.
I sent you some, didn't I? Because I wear those sometimes. I have to stop though because I've got the rash around my eyes.
Did you get the cream I sent you?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's going on daily. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, so fucking dentists. There you go.
Sorry to hear that, Michelle, that your teeth are all loose and swear of the day. Hanging out.
I was crying. I had a cry this morning.
Oh, no.
Loose and hanging out.
Are you listening to me?
Why are you crying? Dropping trolley. Murdered.
What are we talking about today, Michelle? What are we talking about today?
Well, it's a topic that I get very excited about, and I feel quite pathetic that I get so excited about this. It's the cleaning episode.
Yay! Do you know, it's so funny that we should be talking about cleaning and cleaners, because I don't have a cleaner at the moment. Did have for a little while, because as you know, I work part-time as a carer for my father-in-law, and by the time I get back of a Friday evening after spending two days away in a night.
Cleaning there as well.
And all sorts of nonsense that I have to do. I'm not going to go into details. We'll need so many trigger warnings. But I get back and the house has been turned upside down, and it's an hour and a half drive away, and I'm so exhausted. So I've told my husband we need a cleaner. He was reluctant. I said it's cheaper than a divorce. So he agreed. I'm not even going to bore you with it, Michelle. It's just so dreary. First world problems, you know, but it does make my life a lot easier.
It does. And I never had a cleaner until I lived with Tom. And Tom was the most tidy person, but he didn't clean. He didn't want to stick his hand down the toilet. So we got a cleaner because I found I was doing all the hard cleaning.
And becoming resentful.
A little. Yeah, you do.
You do.
Because
the best relationships crumble over the division of household chores.
Yes.
It's the only problem that I have with my husband. Well, not really, but it's the main one.
And it's not enough. I don't want, you know, someone that I'm in a relationship with to say, okay, I'll do the lawn and you do everything inside. No fucking way. No, that's not how it works, because I want equal division of labor. If it's not happening, the cleaner comes in.
Exactly.
Better all round.
Yes.
I really hope you find one.
That is what it's all about for me, yeah. Saving my relationship.
I loved having a cleaner because although I did find I would clean before the cleaner came a little.
That's a bit silly. And your flat's quite small. I did have a little job last year or year before cleaning a friend's Airbnb, actually, Michelle.
Okay.
It was quite eye-opening, let me tell you.
Okay.
Now, she's quite meticulous, like yourself. And loves a tidy space. And she was also quite reluctant. She wasn't in the country, so she didn't know the sort of people that were staying. And on one and I would be able to kind of do a forensic when I came in afterwards and tell her, well, this person's got long black hair, or or I don't know what happened here last night, but I think there might have been a party. Because once I was going through the bathroom bin and I found
Going through it or just to empty
I was emptying it. I wasn't going through it. I was emptying it and there was no bin bag in there. So I had to get my hand in. Lucky I had gloves on. There was a used condom. There was, what else was there? There was this weird packet. There was a few, I think there was a few condoms. Then there was this weird kind of syringe. It wasn't a syringe with a needle on the end though. It was weird.
Do you know what? You had told me about this.
And then I found the packaging and I Googled it, and it's some kind of, it's what you put down your throat to
intubate.
It's a local anesthetic. What were they doing?
Yeah, but that's what gay men shove up their asses.
Is it? I spoke to the neighbor.
Yes, I think so.
She said, yes, there was some hard parting. There was a bunch of men, Australian, and one woman there. And I was like, because my friend had said that there was only a couple of guys and that they were young professionals and that they were really they came with great references. But oh my God, there was complaints from the neighbours. And then when I went through the bins, oh geez, I tell you, it was shocking.
Oh, that is grim. Oh, that's grim. You never know what you're going to find.
No.
But you know, we did our hoarders episode. Can you imagine being the cleanup person after a hoarder?
Finding a dead body.
Oh my God.
That's a job as well. Someone's got to clean that up.
Yeah, well, we did talk about who cleans up a murder scene the other week. You thought it was Anton LaVey, but no.
No, he just takes the pictures.
But cleaning, you know, it's such a fundamental part of life. And people have all different levels of cleaning. People, some people see
standards.
Yes, some people see mess, other people don't. I'm always shocked when I walk into people's places.
Always?
No, but when they present as being, you know, very neat, meticulous, never a hair out of place.
Oh, I thought you were trying to say that just no one else has the sort of standards that you have. So whenever you walk into every person that you know's house, you're just like, oh my God, do they not wipe their walls down?
No, I'm not like that. But I'm always really shocked at the contrast between how somebody looks and
how they live,
how clean their place is. Because I used to have a neighbor many, 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 many years ago. You know, she was always really well groomed, really well presented. But her house was a fucking tip. You know, you'd go in there, it was just shit everywhere and never clean. And it was like she didn't see clutter. She didn't see mess. I would just feel like, yeah, just clean your fucking house. Like, clear some shit out. And, you know.
That's very judgmental, Michelle.
Yeah, I'm judgy bitch when it comes to this. I am. I'm not going to say anything else. But I think I've mentioned on the podcast that Jen recently moved house.
Yeah.
And, you know, she'd been in her place for a good 25 years. So that's a long time to accumulate stuff. And look, we all accumulate stuff. It's just a part of life. She knew she was moving, but she didn't know when. So fair play to her. Like it was just this vague moving date because she didn't know when she was going to get allocated a new house. And when it happened, it was all very fast and she wasn't prepared for it. She hadn't cleared out anything. She hadn't packed nothing at all. And, you know, I think psychologically, it's really overwhelming to go through stuff. It's super overwhelming to have to go through that. And, you know, I think it's emotional, you know, it's really emotional. It's a lot of attachment to things. And I think that once Mum realized this is it, like the move's on, game on, you know, she had to then downsize because she was moving to a smaller place. Mm-hmm. And fair play to her. My sister Steph said that Jen, when it came to the crunch time, she got rid of loads and loads of stuff. And she's moved into this place with hardly any of her old things. She's bought lovely new things. She's happy as a clam. And I think there's a real lesson to us all in having less stuff.
God, yeah. That sounds like heaven, I have to say, Michelle, living alone for a start.
Yeah.
Just joking, family. I love them.
Yeah, of course you do. But, you know, it's interesting because I remember talking to Andreas's sister and we had been talking about, you know, moving and cleaning and all this kind of stuff. And she said, oh, well, you know, I recently just went through the house and did some Swedish death cleaning.
Good name.
I was like, what the actual fuck are you talking about? Because that sounds fucking terrifying, right? Who puts death in that word, Swedish death cleaning? And I was thinking, okay, does she mean that she thinks she's going to die soon? Or does she mean that she's cleaned her house to death?
I think it sounds like that's what you do after someone's died.
Yes. Yes.
Or the forensics have been and gone and somebody has to scrub the outline, the blood outline off the floor. Sorry. Oh, that's awful.
Oh, Grimola. Yeah. I did think, and I even think I said to her at the time, what? You think you're going to die? That's what you've cleaned your house for.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, because I was so shocked. And then there's actually, and look, I know that I have in the past attributed certain things that my boyfriend's family does as part of a bigger Swedish cultural thing. Yeah. But this actually is because I Googled Swedish death cleaning. It's really a thing. They even have a word for it. It's called döstädning, which literally translated means death cleaning.
Nice.
So there it is. There's your Swedish lesson for the day.
Thank you.
I can help. But because we were talking about it in the context of this crockery that Andreas's dad has and, you know, what they were going to do with it. And so all of this came up and it's just, it is a real thing. And there's this woman called Margareta Magnusson. Now, she says she's between 80 and 100.
What?
And quite frankly,
she's forgotten how old she is.
Do you know what? I don't know if she's forgotten or
how old
I kind of like her style.
80 or is it 100? Somewhere, that's 20 years. That's a 20-year yes. gap. It's somewhere between it 80 and 100. I've stopped counting.
Or is it that she is a little bit like me, doesn't like to admit her age, and she wants to be a bit ambiguous?
It doesn't matter after 80, though, Michelle. You could be 80 or 100. You're still fucking old.
Doris. Cloris. Maureen. Doreen. Leslie. Wesley.
Tracy.
And Stacy.
Daniel.
Spaniel. Bill.
Eavesdropping.
Margareta Magnusson. She's ambiguous about her age. 20-year sliding scale here.
Hilarious.
So she wrote this book called The Gentle Art of Swedish Death Cleaning, How to Make Your Loved One's Lives Easier and Your Own Life
For
More
After
Pleasant.
You Pop Your Clogs.
Yes, and this is what Swedish Death Cleaning sense. Is all about. Yep. Because, and I really like that title because who doesn't want a clean house and who doesn't want a more pleasant life?
Do you know
right?
what? I've just realised there is a skip just sitting outside my father-in-law's bedroom window waiting to be filled. He's still kicking on, but the skip is there. Come on, come on. We have to fill it up, Dad. Come on. Get a move on. No, I'm joking. That's awful.
No, but you know what? This is the thing. The Swedish, it's a part of their culture. Because I was like, what the hell does Swedish death cleaning really mean? What she says is, once you reach the end of middle age, and actually, I just want to pause here. What the fuck is the end of middle age? What does it even mean these days?
When are you or me
middle-aged.
In middle age? Well, my father-in-law, back when he was still with it, would say that middle age was 35 because you're only going to live to around 70. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's very interesting. If middle age was 35, what a fucking crock of shit. Like, that's terrifying to me because
I think you're still a teenager at 35 in this day and age.
Yeah, but I think everybody mentally, I don't think anybody feels middle-aged.
They never want to own up to being, oh, I'm middle-aged, yes.
It's not a label anybody wants.
No, I'm a teenager, that's fine. I'm a young adult, then what?
I'm a 20-something.
I'm a 20-something. I'm a 30-something. I'm middle-aged. Because it's definitely 40s, isn't it, onwards, middle-aged.
Well, I think she sort of says it's around 50.
80.
Yes, Margareta's only middle-aged.
Yes.
Anywhere between 80 and 100.
But, somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, because I just don't know what middle-aged is these days. Anyway, so she says you should start doing this Swedish death cleaning at the end of middle age, whatever the fuck that is.
Right.
Or you could start it when you're younger or older. I mean, because really what it is.
Thanks for that, Margareta, because now you've basically just said you should start it here. But or you could go before then or after then. So really, any fucking time at all, Margareta. Thank you. Thank you for the advice.
Because when you break down what Swedish death cleaning is, basically you just get rid of all the stuff you've accumulated over the years that you don't need anymore. So nobody has to do it for you when
that's
you die.
Best.
Plus, you'll be able to better enjoy your life when you have less mess and clutter to deal with. Yep. And she's got some top tips.
Okay, let's hear them.
So go to your storage area. What that means is if you've got stuff hidden under the stairs, in the attic, in the garage, whatever. So go to those places and pull out what's there and start going through it. Start getting rid of it all. Because she says here, and I like her style, who do you think will take care of all that when you're no longer here?
Mm-hmm. I think about that every time I shove something in my crawl space, so to speak.
Okay. Do you put, is that where you put your children as well?
No. No, they're not allowed in there. But yeah, I do put things that I no longer want to look at, like Christmas trees and decorations, extra bedding.
I think that's okay.
A lot of your stuff.
I was going to say, I've got stuff in your crawl space.
You have.
I'm sorry. I need to get rid of it.
With Janneke and Steve, good friends of mine who also left me. They've got some stuff in that, yeah, in the crawl space. What else is in there? All the luggage.
Yes, but those are useful things that you don't want to see every day.
I'm glad to have my crawl space, I'm telling you. Because then I can also put, I mean, this morning, even though the weather's not there yet, we are mid to late May and it's supposed to be so hot and sunny. So I've just pulled out all my summer clothes.
Yes, but I think that's okay. Look, I think she's talking more about stuff like...
There are also things like mulberry, like cards, like lovely cards that I don't want to forget, like all my work colleagues making silly cards. And we used to do a lot of dressing up and make a calendar and things like that on the slow days. So I've got all that in a box and all my photos as well.
Okay. So I think what she's talking about is, you know, things that you don't use a lot. Yeah. Because what you're talking about is luggage, bedding.
Yeah.
Winter and summer clothes.
I do get
storage.
It. I don't know why I just had to reel off everything that's in my crawl space. Why did I do that?
Well, because it's on your mind.
It's on my mind.
I've been up there
today. I've been ferreting around in there.
Oh, have you? Little ferret face. So I think she's talking more about stuff. And I think back to Jen and stuff she had. You know, I think I've talked to you about she had two ice cream makers. And two microwaves.
Why and two?
Because they were on special and it was a good
deal. She's a hoarder. She's a white goods hoarder.
Well, it's all gone now. It's all gone. Okay. But also things like she had silver that she got given from her wedding.
Use that. Every day. No, I'm telling you now, everyone, get that crystal out. Use it every day on a Friday night. Pour your wine into it. Get your knives and forks out. I told my parents the same thing when they recently moved.
Yes. And I think our generation, we don't
get silver.
Well, it's not even that. We don't have a culture of saving things for good because nothing's for best. Everything is for every day.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We don't buy the super expensive crockery to use for every day. We just have the medium kind of price to cheap stuff because you know it's going to break because you use it every day.
Absolutely.
And we don't entertain the way the 50s, 60s housewives used to entertain.
Quite frankly, we don't entertain at all these days, do you?
No.
Not allowed.
No one's leaving their house. But we don't have that kind of stuff in our lives. You know, we don't have a separate lot of cutlery and good china. You know, we don't have that. It's not part of how we live our lives. So, but certainly, you know, I'm sure people have attics and rooms full of junk. Just junk that, might use that again one day. Well, do you know what? Get rid of it. Because if you need it again, buy it again.
Yeah.
You know, it's not worth it. And she says here, old Margareta, life will become more pleasant and comfortable if we get rid of some of the abundance. Mess is an unnecessary source of irritation.
Do you hear that, Paddy? That's my husband. I tell you what, Michelle, I wholeheartedly agree with her. And I've got to say, for my mental health, I can't handle clutter. I can't handle mess. If I walk downstairs feeling quite sprightly, and I walk into the kitchen and there's crap all over the counters. Things haven't been put away. I mean, yeah, I understand if somebody's just been cooking breakfast, I get that. But it's just stuff everywhere. People tend to come in from outside and they just dump their stuff. I can't bear it. I've just had a night without my husband because he's looking after his dad right now. And everything is clear. The decks are clear and I'm feeling so much calmer.
Yes. Well, there's research about this. Stat me up.
Stats.
So this study found that clutter can actually make it harder for your brain to focus on a specific task.
I get it.
Because visually, you're distracted by the clutter. Your brain sees all of this clutter as irrelevant information. Yeah. So your brain is working harder to sort out what's important and what's not.
I just feel exhausted thinking about that.
Yeah. And, you know, having fewer things to worry about it makes life more manageable.
Yes.
Because when there's calm on the outside, there's calm on the inside.
Thank
you. And I really resonate with this because, and I first realized this about myself when I was at university. And look, I don't know if this is just procrastination or if it really was like a real thing, but I would have to do an essay and I would think, I cannot focus on the task at hand unless I have a tidy room.
Yep, I totally get it.
Yeah, so I think there is a connection between how you feel and the clutter around you. And it makes sense. I mean, on a super basic level, chaos on the outside, you feel on the inside.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely get that.
Yeah, of course. But it's interesting. Margareta says about this Swedish death cleaning, it's not just about dusting and mopping. It's about a permanent form of organization that makes your everyday life run more smoothly. She says when you go through things, it's a real pleasure to remember what things are worth, what they meant to you, but you shouldn't leave a mess for other people to clean up. And she says here, do you think you're immortal? She has all these funny things.
Well, she like, bloody she is. Writes.
Yeah, I know. She's really 110, but she's telling everyone she's 80. But yeah, so, but I think there are, you know, there's a lot to it for, a lot to be said for paring down all your stuff
and getting
rid of it. I think that sort of leads me on to this other, which we just touched on before, about why we don't want our parents' stuff. Because I don't want my parents' stuff. I'm sure you don't want your parents' stuff.
I know there's some stuff that I want.
Yes, but you need to make sure you tell Robin what you want because
I have told her. Oh, there's this patchwork coffee table. I mean, unless I live in Australia, though, I can never have those things.
Yeah, okay. See, well, that's the thing.
My Nana had loads of amazing stuff. I ended up with two of her incredible prints. I can't remember what they're called now. Tchaikovsky, whatever they're called. They're these... I can't remember the name of the artist, but they're very pop art, not pop art. They're kind of like
okay.
A woman, it's all blue and she's got a turban, the blue woman. And then there's this Balinese girl
okay.
that she used to have in ornate frames. But I've got them currently without the frames.
Okay. But they, I think I've seen them in your house. Mm. And they're really beautiful. But they are, you know, they really mean something to you. And it's funny because, I mean, it's awful actually because I was talking to Andreas about, oh, we're doing this episode. And I went just through his dad's kitchen stuff. And I said, well, you know, if heaven forbid, you know, his dad left this mortal coil, I was like, well, we could get rid of that, and that. And he said, yeah. And he was like, well, we can't get rid of the ducks. And I was like, yeah, but it's just junk. And he said, yeah, but my mum collected those and they really mean something to me.
Yeah.
And that's the point here is that it's so objective. You know, what looks like junk to me really meant something. Because I was like, okay, that's expensive. We'll keep that. That's really stylish. We'll keep that. That junk. And actually, I hit a nerve.
You know? Well, I'll tell you something. My dad has an incredible piece of, it's like it must have come from God knows what era. He's got a Viking boat, wooden carved Viking boat. Just a pit, like a thing that you put on the wall. My brother wants that. That's fine. He can have it. But it's very special to my dad because of his Viking roots, because we're Danish. So he's going to have that. But then there's all my mum's stuff that she's got. There's no way I want a little row of jeans, just a little man that has no top. It's just the bottom. It's just jeans. She's made fairy gardens. I don't want that. Or a singing frog made of porcelain, like a little thing made of gum nuts. I don't want that. Sorry, mum. I love you, but I don't want your knickknacks.
No, but this is it. Like, it's really interesting to think about why we put so much.
But I do want their crystal.
Well, that's it, you know. Yeah. But because that's the thing, like the stuff that our parents value, it's not what we value. And I think they don't understand why we don't value it the same way they do. And I think that they think they're doing us a favor by bequeathing things to us. Mm. But I think we need to be really clear about yes to that, no to that, without hurting feelings, you know.
Exactly. You've also got to remember that those things that do remind you of your loved one that's now no longer with us, that's not them. You will have your memories as long as you have memories.
Yes. that singing frog doesn't make you...
That doesn't make me think of my mum.
No.
But unfortunately, we are in possession. Paddy's mum, who is no longer with us, was a potter. She would she made lots of beautiful pottery, plates, mugs, cups, vases.
I've seen
it's beautiful. It's beautiful. She made a set of plates, cups, bowls for all of her children. Paddy's never made it here, but that's probably a good thing, so we can have it at some point. Because every other piece that we do have of his mum has broken, chipped, whatever. And every time that happens, there's extreme sadness. It's like he's losing his mum all over again every time he chips or breaks a pot or a glass or a mug.
Yeah, but do you remember when we were in Berlin and I was buttering some kind of toast or something with Susanna and the plate broke? And I said, oh my God, Susanna, I'm so sorry. She was right in front of me. It wasn't like I was handling the plate badly. It broke. And she looked at me and she said, don't worry, it's okay. And I saw her face go white and I said, what's happened? She said, that was my grandma's plate. And she was trying to hold in this sadness. No. And I just wanted the ground to swallow me up. It was heartbreaking. I felt so terrible about it because, like you say, that plate is not her grandmother, but that was something that she was using every day. And every time she probably thought of her grandmother every time she put that plate down.
But sadly, that plate is going to break. I mean, you weren't playing frisbee with it.
No.
It goes into the dishwasher, or if it doesn't go into the dishwasher because it's so precious, then it gets used because we're the generation that likes to use things.
Well,
otherwise, where's that plate going to go? It's going to go under the stairs or in the crawl space and you're not going to look at it. So you look at it and you use it and you just have to separate yourself. Otherwise, there's more sadness to come. Don't keep it if it's going to make you sad when it breaks.
Because things will break. But, you know, Andreas brought his grandmother's bowls from Sweden back to Switzerland. And we don't use them every day, but we always bring them out when, you know, friends come over for dinner. It's not like it's for good. And, you know, one got chipped and the gold is coming off the edges, but we use them and we love them. And we know that they will break and we will feel sad when they do. But I do think it's better to get the use out of it than to just have them sitting there and be too scared.
Live in the moment.
Yeah. Burn the candles. Use the nice sheets. Do all of that stuff because every day is for good. Every day is use the stuff for best because L'Oreal? You're worth it. You're worth it. But we are
worth it.
I think the Swedes have got it down. Clear your shit out. Don't leave it for other people because it will not only help your loved ones, but it helps you. I've heard my mum on the phone telling me how happy she is. She loves her new place and she's gotten rid of so much stuff. So,
it's a good feeling.
Big up, Jen. Big up.
Big up.
Eavesdropping.
Eavesdrop. Wow, wow, wow.
Just eavesdropping.
Eavesdrop.
Eavesdropping. Big up. But then, you know, there's also cleaning. I love cleaning. I love it and I hate it.
Yeah, I hate
And we're not
it.
Talking Swedish death cleaning, but...
But I like things to be clean.
I don't know why. I don't know why I get so crazy about it, but you are a little bit like this too, because just a few weeks ago, we had a half an hour conversation about
toilet brushes.
Yeah, it's like, which design is better?
By the way, I got rid of all of my limescale in all of my toilets.
How did you do that?
There is a product and it's just one that you buy off the shelf. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, I bought something from Amazon, which you pour down and it kind of foams up. I can't remember what it was. It might have been something that you recommended. And then I'm kind of keeping on top of it with something very toxic. Now, I'm a bit of a greenie and I do like natural products, but they just don't get rid of hard limescale.
No, they don't.
And it was looking so rancid.
Yeah, okay. And what about the toilet brush? What design did you go for in the end?
It looks like a tongue Okay. It looks like a silicone tongue. I spent a lot of money on this toilet brush. It's silicone and it's like a spiky tongue with lots of like sticking out bits all around it. And you kind of slot it down and you shove it in. It doesn't feel like it's doing anything.
But is it doing anything?
It's hard to know.
Okay.
Because I blew up the toilet bowl. So
what?
I blew it up with the bleach stuff. So now it's all clean.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I'm staying on top of it with that new silicon tongue, I like to call it. The toilet bowl tongue.
The toilet tongue. The toilet tongue.
Let's market it as the toilet tongue.
But you know, I had never seen this particular design of toilet brush.
Just licked look.
No. Wait. Honestly, you would do very well on RuPaul's challenges. The just Thank licked you. Look. But we had a fantastic toilet brush, but it was so ugly. And I said to Andreas, we need to get rid of that and get an attractive toilet brush. Yeah. So we got one that's like in a beautiful ceramic kind of holder and it's gorgeous copper like handle. But
it doesn't matter how pretty it is when there's bits of shit hanging off the end of it, Michelle, and wet toilet paper. Honestly.
Oh, well, I just did the laugh.
You did the, oh!
Anyway. But this toilet brush, it just doesn't cut the mustard. It just, it's a bit shit.
It's all looks and no action.
But I'll tell you what it is. It's just a big fairy head of bristles, right? Big fuzzy head.
Are they plastic?
Yeah, they're plastic, so they've got a bit of oomph to it, but it's not shaped to get into the crevices of
the toilet.
You want a
tongue. You want a silicon tongue.
I want to get a tongue in there. I don't think I would feel satisfied with a silicon soft tongue.
It's not satisfying, but I do think it might be staying on top of things.
Maybe.
Top reviews on Amazon.
Top dollar. You know, we used to have this toilet brush, which was fantastic. The bristles were a good shape. They were a good strength, so you felt a bit of resistance on the bowl. And then it had like a second piece that goes under the rim. You know, like a fuzzy. Ooh, a fuzzy. Double.
Yes, I know.
It's a double
about.
Header.
But I'm thinking of a natural bristle. For like Ew. A brush, yeah. I think no. a natural brush. Yeah, I think.
I don't think so.
Bristle
I think you need
good.
Plastic because you want to like rinse that shit off,
rinse it clean. Yeah,
yeah. Plastic.
Can you not just pop it in the dishwasher? Is that
I'm disgusting? Not putting a shitty brush in a dishwasher, Geordie.
Well, it's very high that's temperatures, very, Michelle.
But that's very unhygienic. You don't mix your bowls. You don't have the. Oh no! Just no. Okay. No.
All right. So, well, now we know.
So, I'm in the market for a new toilet brush.
Any recommendations, please ping us a line to hello@eavesdroppingpodcast.com. Thank you.
Look, I'm obsessed with cleaning products. I love them. I get excited about them. This has been a longstanding love for me, going all the way back to when I was in a group house and I first discovered No Name Exit Mold.
Okay.
Now, it changed my life because we were living in some shitty, damp share house. The ceiling of the bathroom was covered in mold and it used to upset me.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
would
yeah,
upset me. But you know what? A few sprays of the No Name Exit Mold, it was like brand new painted ceiling.
Just think about your lungs. What was in that stuff?
I don't care. But what's worse?
Yeah.
Mold
breathing
in?
Yes.
You know, all of it's bad. So it was absolutely fantastic. Since then, I realized that cleaning products can change your life, can change your mood. And I now am obsessed. So I remember it was actually when I had the cleaner in London and she recommended Viacal. That changed my life because I had never found a good cleaning product in the UK. And this one gets rid of hard lime scale. It's great for the kitchen, obviously great for the bathroom, great for everything. You just
it just smells
zip,
nasty.
Zip.
Oh, I don't like the smell.
I don't mind that. I actually like the smell because it makes you feel like it's doing something. It's a little bit like bleach. It makes you feel like it's doing something. But then...
Do you never feel guilty about the ecosystem though when you're pouring that stuff down the toilet?
I do. I really do. Mm. And I have thought about trying to have, you know, like use more eco brands. But like you said,
vinegar, bicarb,
yes.
Lemon.
And I've done all of that, but it just doesn't work. Or am I doing it wrong? Because I remember my friend Felicity, she told me, right, you get vinegar and water in a spray can, you put your bicarb on your stovetop,
yep,
spray it on, it bubbles up, you just wipe yep it off. Well, nice. Didn't work for me. What was okay I doing wrong?
I don't know, but I need to clean my oven, so maybe I'm going to try that.
Yeah, do it. Do it. And
thank you, you for know the natural tip.
Well, here's another natural tip. So I absolutely love Magic Sponge. Do you know Magic
yes
Sponge?
Yes, I've tried them. I don't get on with them.
Why? What is it?
Well, how do you use them?
Well, it depends what you use it for. So we have an induction stovetop and it's glass. And if you get the Magic Sponge takes off all the like gunky, like stuck on crap.
Do you have to wet it first?
Yes, I wet it.
I like a microfiber cloth. They're my favourite things for glass and also all kinds of surfaces.
I do like a microfiber cloth. I think they're fantastic. But and this is not very eco. For me, just a bit of paper. A bit of paper is what works the best. Especially...
That is eco because then you can recycle it after.
Yes, no, that's true.
Vinegar. In fact, I do only wash my windows with vinegar and paper.
Straight vinegar?
Oh, no, I think I dilute it.
Does that work for windows?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll give that a go because I really struggle with cleaning window cleaners because some of them leave streaks. I don't like a streaky window.
I don't like a streak, no.
Nobody likes a streaky window. No. But back to Magic Sponge, it is amazing. You can use it on glass. You can get scuffs off walls. I don't ever use it on wood because it will take the varnish off.
Okay.
But I use it for everything. But at the restaurant, when you've got really super heavy duty, like cooking, Andreas found this amazing natural way to clean all the gunk off a glass or a ceramic stovetop. You get a sugar cube and it's not one of those quick dissolving ones because that will be fucked. You get an old school sugar cube.
Yeah.
Just one drop of water on it. And you just...
Sounds like you're about to have some absinthe or something.
Oh, I wish. Oh, my God. I could actually drink an absinthe right now. I would love that. No, and you just use this sugar cube and it takes... It's like Magic Sponge. It takes everything off the stovetop. Yeah.
So it's a sugar cube, a firmly packed sugar cube, a white sugar cube, let's call it, with a drop of water in the middle of it.
We just drop it on. So it's got a little bit of...
Moisture. And you use the cube and you just rub the stain, the offending stain. Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Amazing.
It is amazing. Because I said, that's not going to work. It worked.
Amazing.
It was amazing. And then in Europe, not in the UK, you can get this stuff, changed my life, called Chanticleer. If you ever see it, buy it. It's amazing. It cleans everything. It's what every Italian mama will tell you is the best cleaning product in the world. And you can even spray it on your clothes to get stains out.
Uh-huh.
But it's not eco. It's not eco-friendly. And I do have guilt about that. But I do have the eco egg for my washing.
Oh, yeah. I want one of those.
You just chuck the egg in and your clothes come out fantastic. I tell you what's really terrifying. Oh, actually... Before I tell you what's really terrifying.
Yeah.
In Sweden, they use this thing called grön soppa, which is basically green soap. And they use it for everything. It's like the miracle stuff. We always put it in our luggage and take it with us when we leave Sweden. And it just is absolutely brilliant. Any Swede will tell you it is their go-to for cleaning floors. You know, cleaning.
Sounds amazing.
Whatever. No, it is really, really good. But what I was going to tell you is really terrifying. And it's not terrifying at all.
Go on then.
People give me cleaning tools.
Ha ha.
What is that? What do you think that says about me?
Because they know that you're really anal.
No. Do you think? Oh my God. Because recently a friend gave me this.
They know
thing.
You're she uptight. Went... No?
Oh my God.
I'm joking.
You are such a bitch today. she went to Italy and she found this thing. Like imagine a hand with the fingers spread out And then it's
like a webbed hand.
Like a webbed hand. And then it's got these, but you can clamp the things shut.
What's she on about? Oh, this is to clean your Venetian blinds. I've seen those. Yeah, they're pretty good.
I've never seen those before. And she said, hi, I thought of you. And she said, I got you a present. And I got really excited. And then she pulls out this blind cleaner. And I'm like,
is it just that she knows you've got blinds?
I don't have blinds.
Oh.
But do you know what? I'm always going into pharmacies and supermarkets in foreign places when we could travel.
That is great fun.
Is there some kind of secret cleaning product that I don't know about that is going to change my life? And sometimes you come across crazy good stuff, even sponges. I really struggle with sponges because the cleaning cloth arena, there are so many. Like you said, there's a microfiber. Then you've got like a normal sponge for cleaning. Your face, you're looking at me like, who the fuck are you?
I can't believe that you are going into great detail about sponges.
I get excited about sponges. I get excited about cleaning. I don't know why. Do you think we need a psychologist to examine this?
Perhaps. I can't think what it might be. I got so bored listening to you talk about sponges that I'm just perusing the internet and I've come across this story about somebody's first day as a cleanup, crime scene cleaner.
Well, tell me about it. What did she say? She? He?
I don't know who it is. The first day on the job in the States, they've walked into this house and there was a rape and a murder.
Oh, my God.
Murder. They met the family of the victim. They showed them where they needed to go and get away from the rest of the family, like to go into the master bedroom, which is where the crime was. There was no dead body in the room because that had already been taken away.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be
photographed and documented, and the evidence had been gathered. The police have finished now. So then after the police have gone, I think the family then have to employ these cleanup crews. Because I did notice when I was looking at the internet just now, there were loads and loads of American companies with biohazard suits, fully trained, got the PPE, that will come in and clean up your crime scene because the police won't lay that on.
Hang on. So the family have to pay?
Yeah, I think so. In the basically, States, I don't know what it is in the UK.
So your loved one's been murdered and then you literally have to pay to clean the blood off their floor?
Yep.
Fucking hell.
Or you do
That's
it yourself.
That's not nice. Well, I'm not getting the marigolds on for that. That's horrible.
So they are just there to scrub out the physical traces of the tragedy so the family could sell the house and move on. So the boss comes in and pulls out a box cutter, which is like what's that usually called? What do we call that?
A Stanley knife.
To excise moldy sections of drywall. Press his knee to the top of the mattress and methodically cut the bloodstains out in neat squares like he was slicing a piece of cake for a birthday party.
Can I just stop you there?
Yes, do.
Who's using that mattress?
No one's going to use the mattress again. Burn it.
Well, why is he cutting it out? Why is he even bothering to...
And then he does the same to the carpet. He cuts out bits of carpet that has bloodstains.
Okay,
and
again.
And then this new person has to go into the bathroom. They've got to clean up the fingerprint dust that's there around the white sink and the counter. And it's like really hard to it's like really slippery kind of dust that clings on like black mercury. Yeah.
Okay.
Soot. They find out later that they were cleaning inches away from the rack that held the towel that contained the murderer's DNA and that was used in evidence against him at the trial.
Oh, my God.
So basically, there's loads of fingerprint dust to get off of washers and dryers. The murderer, in this case, had washed their clothes after killing the victim.
I wonder if that's normal.
I don't know.
Who has time? Who thinks, I'm just going to do some washing at the murderer victim's house?
Know.
Jesus Christ, I can't even speak. But can I say, is this the budget cleaning? Because A, fucking burn that mattress. B, rip up the carpet because...
Rip up the carpet.
Imagine renting that out. Oh, why is there a square of carpet missing here? Oh, what are you going to say then?
I mean, I do recall Do you remember there used to be this amazing estate near Elephant Castle called the Haygate Estate? And one of my ex-husbands had a friend who lived there, and he was given a flat on the Haygate Estate. They've all been moved out and given different, because it got knocked down.
Okay.
But pre it being knocked down, this gentleman who I once met had a flat in the Haygate Estate, a little one bedroom flat, cute enough. It was a bit weird and hard to find because it was all, it's brutalist architecture.
Yeah.
And you didn't know exactly which lift to get into to get to which floor because everything looked the same. So you weren't sure if you were in the right section. Anyway, once in, he'd done it really nicely. He'd put the new wooden floor down, but he did say that when he'd moved in, the person who lived there before him was an old man, and he had lay unnoticed dead on that floor for many months before it was finally realized that he'd passed away. So even though somebody else had gone in to clean up, the shadow of the man was still on the floor.
No!
So this chap had to not only scrub it, he had to buy a new floor to put over the top.
That's not nice. Over the top!
Over the top of the stained concrete or whatever it was, the stained flooring underneath.
Oh, but why didn't you just get rid of that shit? I'm sorry, I would not want
no,
to just...
No, it was the flooring. Like, he'd gone through the carpet. He'd gone through the carpet.
The fluids.
The dead man, the fluids in the shape of this man's body had gone through the carpet and into whatever the floor was made out of, concrete, probably, because it was a flat.
I thought you meant there was like...
He couldn't get the shape of the man out.
Fluid shape of a man.
It was.
In floorboards.
No.
Oh, and then he just popped some floorboards over the top.
He had to put floorboards over the top of the concrete.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not nice. I wonder if that has a smell.
I would imagine it did at the time. Imagine. You'd have do some serious fumigating.
Yeah, you would have to put like minimum bleach on. Like at a minimum, you'd put bleach on. And there must be some kind of serious corrosive acid or something. But how, I mean, would you live in a place where you know somebody had died?
That's the thing, Michelle. In this country, Great Britain.
Not where you live at the moment, not your place.
Well, my house is from the 1930s. It's been done up a few times, but I'd say people have probably died here. You never know, do you?
Well, our Nana died.
Most people probably have died in a house.
Our Nana died in my sister's bedroom. On Good Friday, when she had come to visit us for Easter.
Oh, so she wasn't expected to die?
No. She had come to visit us for Good Friday, and I'd made a scene about my favourite knife, and my sister had taken it, and meh, meh, meh.
Knife.
It had a pearl handle. Everyone wanted the pearl handle knife, but I got given the green handle knife. These are the tragic tales of childhood. And I made a scene. And my Nana, I was always the favourite. And I got the pearl handle
knife. You
made
damn sure of that.
And so anyway, there was a scene because Mum was like, you know, we've got to treat the kids equally, blah, blah, blah. Nana went off in a huff. Well, Nana had a heart attack and died. That was it. Yeah.
Oh, Michelle.
Yeah. Was I responsible? Do you know what, Jordy? I've never even thought that I was responsible until this very second for giving her a stress heart attack. Fuck.
Because I've got my issues with my granddad.
What do you mean?
I feel to blame for the death of my granddad.
Why?
Well, I don't want to take away from your story, but it's very similar. It's very similar.
What happened?
We had to move house. We were going to move into the basement of their house because we had some financial problems at this point. But at the last minute, we had a reprieve and my dad got a job running the holiday flats, but also rebuilding them where we lived for many, many years in Caseys Beach. But on the day that we were moving everything out of my grandparents' house and into our new house, I mean, my granddad did loads of runs, like with loads of bits of wood and like furniture with my dad back and forth to our new place. And then I said, oh, please, can we bring this? And it was my rocking horse that they'd given me when I was about four.
Okay.
And I was about 11 or 12 at this point. So I didn't really use the rocking horse much. I barely fitted on it. But I was like, oh, yay, you know, rocking back and forth. I love this. Oh, please, granddad, please, can you take the rocking horse back? And my nana said, no, Charlie, you'll have a heart attack. Don't do it. It's too much. You've done enough today. But of course, I pled with him. I was like, please, please, please. And so he did. And then he put it in my room and I rocked away on it. And I didn't even say goodbye to granddad. And off he went. And then an hour later, my mum gets his phone call, drops the phone, gets my dad, leaves me and my brother alone for the very first time in our lives at home for hours.
Oh my
hours
God.
And hours. And when I finally get, I kind of rang them at my grandparents' house. And I was just, I was told by my dad, I think, or my mum, whoever answered, they didn't sound right.
Yeah.
And then they came home. Oh my God, I feel so sad about this. Anyway, they came home and told me that my granddad had died. And of course, for years,
yeah,
I blamed myself because the last thing I heard my nana say was, you'll have a heart attack. And that's exactly what happened.
Oh my
he went
God.
Home and had a heart attack. I know. But then you equally, you know, had a similar situation. Who found your grandmother?
My mum.
Oh, how awful.
Yeah, because thing was that she was in the bedroom and she had the door sort of open. And I remember that morning skipping past, literally skipping past and looking in on Nana and thinking, oh, Nana's still asleep. And, you know, Mum was there making breakfast for four kids. And then, or maybe I've got this wrong. But anyway, Mum went in, found her, had to call the police and, yeah, explain to us all Nana
died. How devastating
were
you all. How awful.
Well, we didn't have a very close relationship with her. It was quite unusual for her to come and stay. But, you know, I remember Mum saying, actually, it's probably for the best that she died here because she lived on her own and she could have been like that guy, never been
Absolutely.
Found for months, you know.
I did just think that when you were saying it, you know, it was probably the safe place for her to be.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe I've never really connected the dots before this conversation that maybe my argument and me being a petty little bitch about that pearl-handled knife stressed her out to the point where I gave her a heart attack.
It's an unfortunate coincidence, Michelle. It's just an unfortunate coincidence.
But do you feel like that?
Well, I did for years and years, but I was a 12-year-old. I was 11 or 12 years old and he was everything to me. My granddad, everything. We were close. Oh. They lived around the corner from us.
Jesus.
So not only did I have to cope with losing him, and he was the first person in my life to have passed away, but I also felt guilty. In fact, I don't know if my mum will remember this, but months, maybe even years later, I would wake up crying and say it was my fault. And she would tell me it wasn't my fault. You know, it wasn't my fault. He did too much that day. Yeah. The last thing, he may have had that heart attack, whether he brought the rocking horse or not. But I just wish that I'd had said thank you and at least give him a hug and a kiss and said goodbye. I wish I'd done that.
You can't change history and you...
You can't. And you can't blame yourself either. You mustn't blame yourself because you don't know. But it is a lesson. It is a lesson that maybe you could have learnt back when you were... How old were you when you died? when she died?
I think I must have been six.
Six? So you're too young. You're too young
Seven,
to learn those lessons.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was too young. But it is a lesson for me as an 11 or 12-year-old to not take people for granted and to think of others a little more. So that was my first moment in empathy and thinking about other people rather than myself, because I, like you, I was also a little princess being adopted. I was revered by my nana, obviously. She never had a daughter. She only had my dad and she loved a waif and a stray. So,
yeah. So you were the it and the all. Well, I didn't think our cleaning episode was going to end up like this.
I tried to take it down a dark path and it ended up going down a very sad path.
Well, let me just reel it back in by saying, if you want any advice on sponges, please get in touch.
For future cleaning tips, I will get in touch with you.
And also, there is a Swedish book which has all of those sugar cube eco tips. It's
called, oh, I want that. Oh, can you...
Yeah, it's called
it.
Yeah, maybe. Ico Tipset. And actually, they have an Instagram. I will put the link to the Ico Tipset. Tipset. Ico Tipset on, on the show notes for anyone who's interested.
Oh, I love it. Send your hints and tips to eavesdropping. Hello at eavesdropping.com. Eavesdroppingpodcast.com. Thanks, Michelle.
Oh, thanks, Geordie.
A lovely little light relief. We'll get back to the darkness next week.
Absolutely. Okay. And until then, keep on
eavesdropping.
Eavesdropping.
Dropping.
Eavesdropping.
Dropping.
Eavesdropping.
Dropping. Dropping.